This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, we'll be talking about the lasting ecological effects of oil pollution in the Persian Gulf and the smallpox vaccine. But first, you know, any kid who likes dinosaurs will tell you that dinosaurs ate each other. Now, you've seen them in the movies. Think about those fast-moving, meat-eating dinos like T-Rex lunching on the much slower plant-eating ones. But until now, little evidence existed for cannibalistic dinosaurs. Those are dinosaurs who ate others of the same species. And all that changed this week with a paper published in this week's issue of the journal Nature that provides pretty convincing evidence that a large theropod dinosaur, think distant cousin of the T-Rex, ate, along with other dinosaurs, others of its own species. If you'd like to talk about dinosaurs, and who doesn't, give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. And as always, you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. Let me introduce my guest. Raymond Rogers is an associate professor in the Department of Geology and McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota. He joins us today by phone from his office. Welcome to the program, Professor Rogers.
Hi, thank you.
Tell us about this dinosaur. Give us a little thumbnail sketch.
Sure, I'll be happy to do that. Mojungatholus, probably the best way to envision Mojungatholus would be to take a silhouette of a dinosaur like T-Rex and to scale it down a bit, because Mojungatholus, like T-Rex, was a bipedal, two-legged, meat-eating dinosaur. But it was smaller, maybe 25 to 30 feet long, would have weighed about 2 tons, had a bump on its head, a little kind of raised area right between its eyes, kind of unique. And it's a type of meat eater called an abelosaur. So it was a southern hemisphere dinosaur related to dinosaurs that lived in the Cretaceous that in places like South America and India. So,
And now what makes you think that this dinosaur was a cannibal?
Well, it's kind of a two-part story. We've collected the bones of this dinosaur and many other dinosaurs that lived alongside it in Madagascar for the past 10 years. We've been going there with great support from the National Science Foundation and National Geographic and collecting. But we didn't really realize what we had until we got back to the museum. And just in the past year and a half, me and my co-authors on the paper, David Krause and Christy Curry Rogers, studied the bones of this animal and others and began to see just an amazing abundance of tooth marks on bones, and most of them are on the bones of Mojungatholus.
And they match the teeth marks from other Mojungatholus?
Yeah, what we did, we had this sample, a very unique sample, in that most dinosaur bones don't show this much evidence for feeding. We took the bones, we measured the tooth marks, we looked at the little serration marks, like dinosaur teeth, meat-eating dinosaur teeth have like serrations on the edge, like a steak knife.
Right.
And there were those marks on these bones. So we had little serration marks on the bones, spacing between the tooth marks on the bones, and also sets of parallel tooth marks on the bones that could only be made by a mouth where the teeth kind of met in a kind of a flat, even surface. And so we used those features and looked at the animals we had in our ancient fauna that we're studying in Madagascar, and it really only matches the mouth of Mojungatholus. And then we took the next step, and we looked at every other potential carnivore in the fauna, and were able, based on aspects of size and basic tooth patterns and the nature of the teeth themselves, to rule out every other suspect.
Now, why was it always assumed that dinosaurs were not cannibalistic?
Well, it's never really been assumed that they weren't. In fact, if you look at living animals today, you know, everything ranging from insects right up through mammals, reptiles, fish, birds, you name it, they have many examples of cannibalism. And so for dinosaurs, it would be naive to assume that many dinosaurs weren't cannibals. But the trick is finding evidence in 70-million-year-old rocks. The fossil record doesn't give up clues all that easily.
Yeah. Details.
Yeah.
Would that mean that you should be looking for evidence with the other velociraptors?
Well, I would think that this study and others like it would certainly spur the scientific paleontologists out there on to look again, because it's a pretty amazing window into behavior and ecology that we don't get too often. So I think this is an example of the kind of snapshot that you can get from the fossil record, the insights that you can get and really get a feel for what happened one day in the late Cretaceous. So I think it's just an example of what can be had, but it's sometimes hard to get.
Now, the late Cretaceous, that was what, 65, 70 million years ago?
Well, Majungatholus probably lived. It definitely lived during the late Cretaceous, and we're estimating, based on work on the rocks, that sometime between 65 to 70, maybe up to 75 million years ago, this animal ranged across Madagascar.
And that was right at the end of the dinosaur period, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, dinosaurs went extinct, at least those that aren't birds, went extinct at about 65 million years ago.
Would that give a clue as to why these might be meat-eating cannibals?
Well, you know, I've read that in a few of the press releases that have come out in relation to this story, but in fact, there is no evidence that we're right up against that end of the dinosaur time. We might be back a few million years. And again, this is a very normal and expected strategy for a meat-eating animal to eat meat, perhaps when times are hard, any way you can get it. And so we don't really see any link between the ultimate extinction of the dinosaurs and this particular feeding behavior in Majungatholus.
Mm-hmm. So this is one set of bones that you found, but of course, you know, other scientists will say, let's find some other bones, some other place.
Well, exactly. I hope so. I hope more scientists look more carefully at the like small marks on the bones. Mm-hmm. And again, that's something that I alluded to earlier. It's only through careful curation and preparation at museums and getting specimens all associated in museums that you can then go see these little details on the bones. It's sometimes hard to see this stuff if it's not carefully cleaned off.
Are you looking with the naked eye or magnifying glasses, or how do you find the teeth marks?
Yeah, these are absolutely visible with the naked eye.
Huh.
They're quite obvious, but they would definitely be covered by the sand and clay that would adhere to a fossil bone, like when you uncovered in the field. We saw tooth marks in the field, but not many. Wow. It was only upon studying the museum collections.
All right, to the phones, Mike in Concord, North Carolina. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you today?
Fine.
Thanks for taking my call. I've just got a quick question, and I'll take the answer off the air. I was wondering, these dinosaurs were very aggressive animals, and I was wondering if those bite marks on the bones might be from the dinosaurs fighting amongst themselves.
Well, Mike, I can tell you that the placement of the tooth marks on the bones in the backbone region, on the insides and outsides of ribs, and like on the undersides of the vertebrae, the animal that was being fed upon had to have been dead at the time. So unlike, there's some reference out there to maybe animals like T-Rex biting each other's faces and doing some battle. In this case, there's no evidence for that, because the animal that certainly was getting the tooth marks imprinted upon it was long dead at the time the tooth marks were made.
Was Madagascar, where these bones were found, was it an island at that point in the Gondwanaland, sort of spreading apart of things?
Yeah, Madagascar, with India attached, began to pull away from Africa way back toward the end of the Paleozoic, so back almost at about 250 million years ago. At about 175 million years ago, Madagascar and India were separated by an ocean from Africa, and then at about 88 million years ago, India pulled away from Madagascar, and since about 88 million years ago, Madagascar has been by itself.
Is this dinosaur only found in Madagascar?
Yes, it is, and it's highly likely that that's the only place it ever lived. We only find it in the northwestern corner of the island now because that is the only place where rocks of the right age are exposed. But it's highly likely an animal this big, probably this mobile, ranged across all of Madagascar at that time.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones to Louisville, Kentucky. Carol, hi. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi.
Hi.
I do have a question. How do you know that these are not scavengers? It's not necessarily a predator only or predatory behavior only that could cause this kind of thing.
Well, to be honest, we actually think that this is indication of opportunistic scavenging. We don't think Majungatholus necessarily killed other Majungatholus. The animals that show the tooth marks weren't small, and I don't think anybody would want to tangle with them, let alone a Majungatholus. And so the way we see it, it looks more like Majungatholus was feeding from, you know, maybe weeks or maybe months-old carcasses of other Majungatholus that may have died for other reasons. So we do think it's an indication more so of scavenging than predatory behavior. And that's not to say Majungatholus wasn't a predator, but we aren't saying it was a predator on its own species.
Oh, okay.
Good point, Carol.
Because
normally when we see the pictures of dinosaurs eating each other, they're fighting to the death first, and then somebody's having lunch.
Yeah. Right. And obviously the other comments that you'd made earlier, I didn't make any reference to this might be sexual behavior or something like that. So I was just wondering if it might have something to do more with the scavenger aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question.
Yeah, well, we really think it does because it looks like the environment was also a pretty stressed place to live, and so Mojangatholos really may have had to scavenge everything available at times.
Let's talk about that environment. What evidence did you find at the site to show how stressed the environment was?
Well, first of all, back to the reference of Madagascar kind of pulling apart, back in the late Cretaceous, Madagascar was down farther south than it is now, so it was in like the desert belt at about 30 degrees south latitude. So first of all, it was in a drier place than it is now up in the tropics. The ancient soils that we find in association with the bones of Mojangatholos and the ancient river deposits show great indication of seasonal precipitation, seasonal flow in the rivers, dry, red soils, and so it looks like there were definitely times during the life of Mojangatholos when rainfall would have been in short supply, plants and vegetation may have been decimated. And then we find the bones that we're describing in this paper and talking about now mm-hmm. in what are called bone beds, which are concentrations of many dead animals in one place. And so it looks like at times animals in this ecosystem congregated and died in considerable numbers. And then perhaps Mojangatholos had a good time for a while, when there was plenty to be scavenged, plenty mm-hmm. to be fed upon. But then as times went on, perhaps Mojangatholos had to just take the scraps. And that's the amount of tooth marks on some of these bones really indicate that Mojangatholos worked hard to get a meal.
So it was really gnawing on the bones.
Yes. I mean, not necessarily chewing or anything, because dinosaurs didn't have teeth for that, but really, really impacting the bones multiple times with its teeth, which indicates that it was really trying hard.
It was pretty hungry.
Yes.
So that would maybe a little shortage of food there.
That's a reasonable hypothesis.
The fact that they're on an island with no means of finding other food, that's a pretty big island, though.
Yeah, it's a very big place. Yeah. Yes. So I think it would have been more the seasonal aspect and times of plenty and times when resources were more limited.
Mm-hmm. So what's next? Do you go back and look for more?
Yeah, we have funding, and we hope to return and continue finding great things. And this is just one among many amazing discoveries that have been made during the course of this project. We've been doing this for about 10 years now.
Do you have like a field that's ripe for discovery there, where you're finding all kinds of fossils?
Well, the place we go, it's actually been known for about 100 years. The French worked there in the late 1800s, and we returned in the early 1990s. One of the co-authors on the paper, David Krauss, is an organizer of this expedition. He brought the whole crew there in the early 1990s, and it is one of the richest fossil fields I've ever seen. You can't walk through it without finding fossilized dinosaurs or crocodiles, birds, mammals, an amazing kind of window into ancient Madagascar in this northwestern corner of the island.
Any evidence of bird-like dinosaurs?
Well, we have a dinosaur, a bird very, very close to a dinosaur that we know from there called Rahunavis that has like the killer little claw on the foot and teeth in the mouth and a long dinosaur-like tail. It's a small animal, about a crow-sized animal, but it also has feathers, flight feathers. So we have a bird flying overhead of Mojangatholos that also has features that link it to a dinosaur.
Well, but no evidence it ate the bird.
No. We do have evidence, however, I should mention this, that Mojangatholos also ate the sauropods, the giant long-necked herbivores that lived alongside of it. In our paper, we also describe some material that shows Mojangatholos tooth marks, and it's on bones of another dinosaur.
The Brontosaurus type.
Yes.
The Jurassic Park-looking ones.
Yeah, very large and armored with kind of a bony plating in its skin.
Right.
So
you're going back next year?
We hope to. There have been some political problems in Madagascar, but we think that's pretty much settled now with just one president instead of two. So I think it looks good.
Well, good luck to you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on and talking with us.
My pleasure.
Raymond Rogers is an associate professor in the Department of Geology at McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota, and he joins us today from his office. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to look at the long-term ecological effects of oil pollution in the Persian Gulf in the Middle East and the devastation that occurred since Saddam Hussein spilled all that oil there about 12 years ago and possibly doing more studies about the effects of the oil spill. So stay with us. We'll be right back.